Today on the Cooligans, we are joined by a comedian who came from overseas.
Wow.
Doing a tour in the United States.
We got fly him over money all of a sudden?
We used all our miles to get him over here, or all our kilometers. Yeah. I don't know what they say.
They say miles, yeah.
Shane Todd, hilarious comedian Shane Todd, Manchester United fan, out from Belfast. And yes, he is in the States and chatting with us.
Yeah, nothing funnier than having a North Irish guy here during St. Patrick's Day, which is when we recorded this interview.
Absolutely perfect. Yes. It's a North Irishman, yeah. A Cuban, and a Dominican walk into a podcast studio.
Wait to hear what the horse says. That and more today on the Cooligans. Hey, I got something that really annoys me.
Okay. Not new.
Have you, this is brand new for me because this isn't something I normally pay attention to, but have you ever spoken to someone or heard someone speak who does this a lot before they start? Like they do.
No, I mean.
It's funny because you just went.
I'm
but that's not the exact same thing. But you don't talk about it, they do.
Well, there's a difference between like, I sometimes smack my lips before I speak.
That's also annoying, but that's not this part.
Yeah, that's very you. What you're doing is very like ASMR-ish.
Yeah, but like what you do is more of like a tick before you start talking. Mm-hmm. Like how some people will like touch their glasses before a punchline or whatever. That's just like a thing, right? I'm talking like a full like as they're talking, like there's just so much saliva being built. It just sounds like someone's, you know, it's like the macaroni sound. You know what I'm talking about? Like while they talk.
We used to do Steve Byrne used to do a great joke about that. He used to be able to make the noise, the macaroni. You know, stirring the macaroni noise.
Oh, okay. Well, now that's like synonymous with the sounds of two people having a
very good time. Yeah. Which that was the joke. That was the joke. Okay. It would be like almost like if somebody would put their ear to his door, if they were like, you know, listening, mm-hmm. it would sound like, you know, he used to do like the noise and then add like moaning sounds to it.
Yeah,
it was a very funny bit.
Well, now I was watching like a TED talk and there was more of a panel. I don't know. I didn't know they did this at TED.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman in the middle, there was two women and a guy. The woman in the middle, she was like, oh, I'm glad you asked me that. And she'd be like, yeah, so this is very important. And when you in marketing, the most important thing is. And I'm just like, oh, could just stop that.
It's pretty horrific.
And in fact, Brian, people listening right now are driving or sitting in driving going, Alexis. Stop that.
Stop telling this story. Yeah.
It's disgusting. You got to get rid of it. Oh, my old macaroni mouth, bro.
Macaroni mouth is a condition. That
does it bother you?
Does it bother me? I mean, I've never really noticed it enough.
You're a fairly emotionless guy. Yeah, it makes these intro conversations kind of difficult.
Not true. It's not about emotionless.
Usually me getting very upset at something and you... Even Keel going, well, people are people.
I accept them all shapes or colors or weird mouth
so
noises.
So do I. The weird mouth noise where I draw a line. I say, put a tariff on
I
that.
Mean, if I was watching a stand-up show and I heard a comedian do this, I'd be like, this is unwatchable. Stop doing that.
Yeah,
it would be too distracting. A normal conversation or if it's not an entertainer of some kind, I mean, like, give them some grace.
Maybe, but you got a microphone. Keep the saliva to a minimum. Also, you don't have to smack it around your mouth. You know, you could give yourself a little gulp every once in a while.
It's that people love this ASMR content, bro. They're some freaks.
They should have loaded it on Pornhub, not YouTube is what I'm saying. YouTube's not the place for it.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. What's good, everybody? Welcome to the Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerrero.
We got a very special episode today because we're not going to be just talking about footy exclusively. We're going to be right.
You know what? Maybe it's okay. Maybe we can talk to our comedy friends every once in a while. It doesn't always have to be just about footy.
It is a comedy podcast. Uh-huh. This is no surprise to most people. And sometimes we bring in some comedians. And we had a comic that came by.
All the way from overseas, just for us.
From overseas, he lives in northern. He lives in Belfast. Yeah. Yes. So he's in
just outside of Belfast, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. Yeah. So he came. He was in town. He was in doing a tour.
He did a whole tour of the U.S. and he stopped by New York. And we said, "Yo, you got to come do the show."
Exactly. So Shane Todd, you may have seen him if you don't already follow him. You may have seen him like pop up on your TikTok or your Instagram feed. A very funny comedian.
Great clips of his podcast Tea with Me, which is very fun, you know, what a view into the North Irish mind, or as they say, Irish.
Exactly.
And that becomes very frustrating and confusing throughout this interview.
We got to figure it all out. We this is a learning experience.
Should we make suggestions on this battle?
You're just make it one country.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, please, God. You did suggest it. Wait till you guys hear this. This is.
But so Shane Todd came by a couple days ago. So we want to get to this interview. And yes, you will enjoy it. You will be laughing. And as always, yes, we do have comedians come on from time to time.
He's a big football fan as well. He's a big soccer fan. So.
And Manchester United. So if you're a Manchester United fan, you're probably going to enjoy this a little bit.
And also, more. Just like the Irish do, the North Irish also call it soccer from time to time. So he does that in this interview.
Look at that. We're all the same folk. You know what?
All the colonies.
We're going to now call it the United States of Ireland.
The United Soccer of Ireland. Exactly. How about that? That's the one thing we can all agree on. Exactly. And then we don't want to get involved in anything else.
So as always, just a quick reminder, if you're new here, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Blue Sky. So at Soccer Cooligans, subscribe to the channel. Hit like on the video.
You got to hit the like button. In fact, right now, if you're watching, hit the like button. If you're listening, smack somebody next to you with a phone and tell them to open up the video and hit like.
Hit them. Yeah, that's right. And just give them a thumbs up after you smack them. So
smack them in the arm. Be respectful.
Make sure you do that right now before the interview begins. All right. Let's get right to it. Here's our awesome conversation with the hilarious Shane Todd.
We have a revolving door of superstars that walk in this room. Mm-hmm. And this might be one of the biggest from overseas across the pond. We're going to add a couple captions, though, because the way this guy speaks, he claims it's English. I never heard this
But
guy.
We have enough experience because we haven't been to his country, but we have been to Ireland. So we understand the accent to some degree. So I don't think
the fact that you just called it the same similar might have said this guy. Look, this guy's from Belfast, bro.
It's a different country.
Yeah, they went with the royal family, bro. It's St. Patrick's Day today that we're recording this. You're really causing some international incidents.
There's no way I was going to get through this interview without offending him in some way.
Of course. Look, his people got to keep the potatoes, okay? ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, all the way from Belfast, Shane Todd, everybody.
Oh, boys.
Shane, what's up, man?
Good to be here. Never been more offended in my entire life. I've never experienced this in Ireland. But yeah, I've been doing 2 years of Duolingo now.
Okay.
For English. So I'm pretty... we're getting fluent.
Nailing it, buddy. Yeah, I love it.
Now, you told a joke a while back about you ordering a coffee.
Yeah.
Now, we have a... I think I sound a little bit more East Coasty than you. You did a real good job of learning how to speak correctly so people take you seriously.
I suppressed that.
Yeah. I did. I said, no, I want to sound like I sell used Cadillacs always. So I say coffee, but you had a problem ordering... Was it tea?
It was
you
tea.
Were looking for tea.
It was tea.
Yeah.
We're tea guys. There's tea in America. It's not
just the sound of a letter, but you still kind of say it wrong. I don't know how you say tea wrong.
Somehow, like American people have been telling me since I got here a couple of weeks ago, I say my own name wrong. That's not a...
That's remarkable.
You say what, Shen?
When I go into a Starbucks and say, what's your name for the order? I say, Shane. I should soften it.
The way you say it sounds like a cartoon when someone takes a sword out of...
It does.
It's also, yeah. You know, it also sounds like the fast fashion clothing brand, Shein.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it? I thought it was Shein.
No, Shein.
No, that's the right way to say my name.
Shein?
When I say it, it sounds like a motorbike going past the window. Shein.
Yeah.
But I won't soften my accent.
You don't code switch?
No.
You shouldn't.
I think it's weird. I have mates in America that are from home and then we're out. And I hear them softening their voice. I'm like, what are you doing?
Sure.
What are you doing?
I think they're not home. You know what I mean?
I do think, because I was in the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
So my brother, every time I speak to anyone, Northern Irish or Irish, I always bring up this story. My brother is a professional handball player.
American handball, like wall ball.
Wall ball.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah.
So the game is from Ireland. The immigrants brought it to New York. And that's why there's handball courts all over New York.
And Latinos took it over.
What's crazy is I didn't know that, but I nodded like, yes, that is.
Yeah, he was like, totally.
We're very proud of that. Yeah, I never knew that.
Yo, you're welcome.
I never knew that.
My Dominican brother.
By the way, it's like super hood and Latino now. It's got nothing to do with Irish people.
It's just such a New York iconic sport. So
right.
There was one of the world championships were held in Ireland. And
yes, I was there.
Oh, of course, you were doing the commentary. Yeah. I remember
he was working the potato concession,
the tater stand. Yeah, I love it. But I was watching a match, and there was a this other girl that I knew that was watching a game as well, and she was like, "Hey, Christian, how are you?" Whatever. And then I she we're watching the same game, and she goes, "Hey, Afar," and I'm like, "What?"
Yeah.
She goes, "Hey, Afar."
Yeah. And that's like, when you say someone's having a stroke.
And I'm like, why are you like? No. So all I'm saying, code switch after like the fourth time that the person doesn't understand you.
Sure.
And then I was like, what are you saying? And she's like, who do you think is going to win?
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, who are you up for?
Bro, that's what you were saying had nothing to do with the translation you gave me.
Because there's also, you know, not only it's the difficult to understand the language or the accent for some Americans, but then there's also just a way of speaking, the words that you use that are just so different in both countries.
It sounds very old timey to us.
Do you know what I'm like when UK audiences and Irish audiences watch like The Wire without subtitles?
Yeah,
you're not getting every word. You don't pick it all up, but you understand the gist of what's being said.
I can't even imagine what it would be like. I wish I would have seen it first in North Ireland, like hanging out with you and your homies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the first time Bodhi said.
By the way, do I look like a guy who has homies?
No. I meant your family. I meant your parents. I didn't want to disrespect
my dad.
You.
That's my dog.
Yeah, that's my dog. Yeah. Yo, my homie makes great biscuits. That's my mom right there. Your roommate. The first time Bodhi said, like, yo, he got, and everyone on the show was like, oh, okay. And they don't explain that means he got killed. Yeah. I would have loved to have been around you and your people, have been like, wait, could someone just rewind?
What do you got? We would have like a committee meeting after every episode. Yeah. Like, right, let's go through this. Yeah,
what do you think happened? Yeah. You start.
That's a little book report. Yeah. Each episode of The Wire. No, man.
Is there something we say that confuses you?
Like, everything.
Anything from this last trip that stood out? Because to us, it seems so normal.
Not like what you say. It's more like what I see. For example, like I started this tour in San Francisco and I went into a CVS to buy that's another thing. What is correctly known as crisps. What you guys call potato chips.
Right. Mm-hmm. Even though it was invented here.
No, we're quite sensitive about potatoes. Anyway, we're looking for the least amount of potato references because it brings back, you know, PTSD. The
thumb. It's like black and white images of war.
So me and my friend Sean, who was with me at the start of this trip, we went into
Sean.
CVS.
No, okay.
By the way, he flew home. I'm making it sound like the streets got him.
Yeah.
He just was here only for a few days.
He was here first.
He got caught. He got caught.
In this country, I get it, bro.
he overdosed on potatoes, but in the Tenderloin in San Francisco. But we went into CVS and we just wanted like a snack. Like Ireland has issues like every country, but I know it's not as bad as America because our groceries are not locked up.
Oh, your potato chips aren't in jail?
They're not behind bars. Yeah, what is going on?
For permission. Yeah. You have to
ask
a form.
The man. Yeah. You have to call for the man.
Yeah. Well, CVS is now owned by private prison companies, so everything goes behind bars. No joke. It's crazy. Also, there's one employee in this massive store.
Yeah. Yep.
So you got to wait till they get to you.
Yep.
What turned like a 2 minutes, I'm going to go grab a bag of chips, is now 17 minutes. Yeah, I'm waiting. I'm number 40 and number 22 of helping someone try to get deodorant.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's tough.
And it puts so much pressure on you because you can't like have a look at it and put it back.
Yeah.
The man's come over with the keys and unlocked it. So you got to get whatever he gives you, you got to buy.
Yeah,
so
this is it.
The whole country confuses me. I'm not going to lie.
It's,
but
it is
I like
very
it.
Odd. We had a moment with we're running out of baby formula and it was all of it was behind this glass. And it's just like, we don't care how hungry your baby is. You got to wait till we open the damn.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, please open this thing. We did this. We went on a trip to Minnesota. We hosted a show. All the heads of all the supporters groups. Now remember, here we don't kill each other. So all the heads of the supporters groups.
Yeah, where's the passion left? Yeah. Why is there no murder?
Yeah, like, sorry, we're all plastic. We hate each other.
Game's gone here in the States.
Yeah, dude. All the heads of all the supporters groups get together every year and like...
See, that disgusts me that they can do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In a room, by the way. And they share best practices.
And no knives.
No knives. No knives. Just to cut the mediocre steak. And so we roast all their teams every year, right?
Yeah,
they hire
yeah,
us
yeah.
to roast all their teams.
Yep.
So it's a big performance. We get there. It's like 2 or 3 days in Minnesota. It's freezing cold. I forget to pack socks. So I'm wearing the last pair of socks I have. And I said, bro, we need to get socks. So we go to a Target, which is like a...
See, by the way, if I heard that in the wire, I would assume it means like drugs or something. No. We need to get socks. Yeah.
I'm on the phone with... Yo, he stepped on the package. Ankle socks? Is that what you mean? So we go to get socks. All the socks are behind glass. So I hit the little button. It sends the alarm. There's a dude who works, right? He's right there. No one's looking up. No one's looking at their little phone doohickey that says, Baba, so I keep hitting the button, keep hitting the button. Lady shows up and she's like, what socks do you want? I said, I don't know. I haven't looked at them yet. And she goes, here you go. And she just handed me a pair of socks. I was like, yeah, I'll take these.
Yeah, yeah.
And then as I put them on, they're not even like made of cotton. It's like some type of silk. I don't know what they are. It's like the same material they make like billboards out of. Right. It's like really uncomfortable.
Is this your way of saying you bought fishnet stockings? You're like, that's what they gave me.
I can... this is it. I'm a bad fishnet. You know
I mean? Give me this rubber mask. Yeah. Well, I just had to buy it.
It's got just a zipper hole in the front. I'm like, this is who I am now.
So Shane, I do want to ask, I know Alexis is more familiar with you, and I was prepping as much as possible and catching up with your comedy and watching a special that you put out. I think it was in 2023, but it was on YouTube just a couple of months ago. But you were touring in the United States. How many cities did you do? And was it your first tour in the U.S.?
So this is my third. So okay, I think it's the third year I've done like a tour. I've come over for shows before. But this is like the third.
Were you like sell your own shows this time?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. This is the third year I've done that. Nice. So it really varies in terms of like scale. But I love coming over here because I see it as like the comedy capital of the world. Sure. It always has been. So to just be in these clubs and cities, even if there's 12 people, I'm still there.
Yeah.
But it's obviously wildly different to the business I'm doing in Ireland. But I still am happy to come over and build it up. And normally what I do is I play pickup soccer during the day.
Oh, nice.
And then go back to the hotel, then do the show at night. I would do that every day when I'm out here. But I have an injury at the minute, so it's killing me to not play. It was actually, you put me in touch with... Kyle Martino.
Yeah, come to the Street FC.
FC is like, for people who don't know, is like Tinder for pickup games.
Yeah, for sure.
You're a bunch of players.
I'm lonely in a new city. I'm like, where's my nearest game?
Yeah.
And then and all of a sudden you're playing football on like high school rooftops, hard court. Yeah. Like I love it. Also, on that app, you can like, you rate yourself out of 5 and then it pairs you up with that game. So I put myself in as a 2 and then you just go and lord it.
Yeah.
I'm just like nutmegging, pinging it around and like...
You're pushing kids out of the way. Like after school program.
So that's
but you
what
also,
I...
Straight up say you also, you rate yourself, but you also have rate the players you played against as well. So it balances. Yeah, so you can't lie. Yeah, you say like, I'm amazing.
Do they do that on dating apps, by the way? Do you rate each other after a date?
I think it's, they did try that on some dating apps.
I would imagine
and then
that's
they stopped
horrific.
It because... Yeah. It was like the commentary, like the responses were too like mean and vicious. Right.
So, you're like 5 stars, great finisher.
Yeah, took forever. real good assist.
I guess you're injured, but like I played in my Sunday league. We won 2 games, 3-0 and 6-0. Bro, we dominated. Yeah. So I would have called. I got 1 assist.
The first time I played out here, I was coming over about 7 years ago to do.
What did
a show.
You think of the level of the player in America? You thought we were trash out here?
No, I'd never really subscribed to that. Like I always want. I'm not just saying that because I'm here, but like at World Cups, I always want the USA to do well. I'm like, this is going to be the time. I think I've always played. Yeah, I've played the game Football Manager, and I like you always see like wonder kids from America, and I'm like, it's all going to come together. So I've always kind of followed the MLS because I liked it back in the day because you would have like a player from like League One of the Championship in England, and he would go to the MLS, and I was always obsessed with that journey and to see how he got on there.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of Irish players who went over as well.
There's one guy in particular, a guy named Luke Rogers, who was in League One, who came out here, and he wasn't allowed back because he got into a bar fight in England.
Sure.
And I was like, that is the exact...
That's perfect.
Why are you bringing all of your culture with you?
At least he did the fight over there. And I remember him trying to explain, like, why are you upset? It's just a bar fight.
Yeah.
Like, MLS is like, no, we don't allow our players to do this.
Yeah. But I got into through that and kind of always followed MLS a little bit. And especially like, some Irish players going over and just kept an eye on how they were getting on. So I didn't know what I thought the standard was going to be, but I came over to Philly to do a show about 6 years ago, and the guy running it, the promoter, said, I said to him the day before, I was like, listen, if there's any like football on when I'm there, like, because they sponsored a team, his bar. Mm-hmm, so I was like, if there's any opportunity for me to get involved, I would love to play. He thought I was joking. I texted him in Dublin Airport on my way over. I was like, I have my boots. Like, I am good to go here. Or cleats, whatever you want to say.
Lovely,
and boots is right. But he picked me up from the airport, and they had a game. I landed at like 10:30. They had a game at like 11. And he drove me straight there. And I came on as a sub and played a league game for them. And I loved it. It was on like an American football.
Yeah, lines are crazy.
And it was, I would say the standard equivalent probably wasn't as good, but the athleticism was probably like really up there. But the it was way more like competitive than a game back home would be at that level, I think.
Okay.
Like, guys were losing their minds so into it. And like, the way they were speaking to the referee as well was like, back home you would not speak to a referee like that, but everybody was just like so into
it. It's also Philly. Philly is a
right.
They very famously booed Santa Claus,
right?
And they throw batteries at the opposing fans because we don't split our fan bases,
right?
You're just allowed to intermix, which in Philly is a you're gonna get beat up.
Yeah. What's your? I mean, you're speaking fairly, I don't know, highly of yourself, but as far as your level and play, like, you sound like you're a proper baller, mate.
Same. I was really uncomfortable when he did it.
You know, I'm trying to speak his language. Yeah,
bro, I think he understood you, dog.
So I get it.
But I'm leaning in.
Yeah.
I would say, look, I'm 36 now.
Uh-huh.
Right? And
you look 23.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too.
What I live for is like charity games that we play at home.
Yeah.
I live for that. We get to play in like nice little stadiums, Irish League grounds, and I live for that. And all I want to do in these games is score a goal. That's all I want. And so last year we played against Man United legends, and I'm a huge Man United fan.
Yeah.
So we played against the legends, and it was like 3,000 people or so in this Irish League stadium where Cliftonville play. And they told me there was going to be a videographer there, but I brought my own videographer.
Just to make sure.
I was like, be low key up in the stands. And
also
just
put a GoPro on his head.
Just
to make sure we get the footage.
Yeah. I was like,
back cam.
Just stay on me. And and he did. My mate Calvin was up in the stands with the camera. And but 10 minutes in, now I was being marked by Yap Stam.
Of course.
God, yeah.
Who coached here, but very famous.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Not for long.
No.
Right? Yeah. And the ball's been played in, and I've just taken a first time. I just buried it bottom corner, past Big Yap Stam.
Oh.
And the everyone who was playing was an ex-pro, so like the game was nothing to them. But this was like my World Cup final.
Yeah, for sure.
And I scored and had to pretend like it was like all good. And then there's a moment where I like look up to Calvin in the stands, and he just gives me the thumbs up like he got it, and I'm like, thank God. And the rest of the game,
waterworks.
I had no interest in the rest of the game. I was like, I don't give a
Pass, give it back. I'm good. I did what I came to do.
I didn't care, but I live. We played against Liverpool legends as well, and we're arranging our own one during the summer against the ex-Premier League 11. So I live for these games, but I still play club football as well for a team that is really close to where I live.
Okay.
And I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, I actually, there's a good friend of mine, John Cooney, who plays for Gloucester County. Yeah.
Plays for Ulster.
So he's like begged me to move to Belfast. Every time something political happens here, he's like, buddy, you got to go.
He's like,
this is very nice here. It's very calm. I'm like, it's not my vibe. You know, I like danger. Yeah. But I was telling him, I'm like, oh, you know, did you come out here and check out a soccer or a football game? And he was like, oh, it's not my thing. I'm like, did you check out a rugby? And he was like, I'm not going to go to your rugby. Now, he said that because he's like, bro, we ain't never heard. You just said a team name I've never heard of.
Cliftonville.
There's, I've heard of like Shamrocks, I've heard of Bohemians. That's obviously Republic of Ireland. I didn't know there was a North Irish League.
Yeah, confusingly called the Irish League. So we have the Irish League and the League of Ireland.
I love it.
But you've got like Glentoran, Linfield, Cliftonville.
It seems very petty the way you guys name things.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the whole thing is based on pettiness. But we have a Northern Ireland. There's like a Northern Ireland League and a Republic of Ireland League.
Right.
They used to play in like, there was like a cross Ireland competition, which was great. I don't think they have that anymore. But But yeah, we get sometimes we get to play in Irish League grounds and it's unreal. But I didn't know what I would think of an MLS game. And then I told you guys I was at Austin FC.
Mm-hmm. Which is great. I mean, it's also new, so it's very flashy.
The stadium's, there's not a bad seat in the house.
Yeah.
The stadium is great. And I'm glad I went. But we're talking about, like, you know, the way fans are so into it earlier and you meeting supporters groups. What, there was two guys behind. So they have like the section of like the fans who love it. Like right. The ultras who are like playing drums and they're into it the whole time. And then there was clearly like two guys. So I'm sitting in a stand where like no one's really like loud or anything. People are just watching it. Yeah. And they're Austin FC fans, but it's like, it's really laid back. We're behind the other goal. Their ultras are behind the other goal. And there's clearly like two guys behind us who are like been banned from the ultras thing, but bring the same energy, but it's just two guys.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like head to toe in green face paint, antlers. They've got like crazy outfits and they're playing like, do you remember like Vuvuzelas from the South Africa World Cup? They've got like all these like homemade trumpets and they're really going for it. And I watched them the whole game behind me. Like I spent the whole game watching these guys and I realized at no point were they looking at the match. They were looking all around them playing these instruments. At no point had they seen any of the game.
Right, right.
And I said to my friend, I was like, that's mental that they've watched none of the game. And my mate was like, you've not watched any of the game. You've been watching them watching other people.
Well, that's entertaining.
Yeah.
But I think that this happened to me once. I forget where we were. We weren't somewhere. And I was behind a guy with a flag, like a massive flag, and he's waving. This is my guy's job.
Yeah.
He is dedicated. I am the flag waver.
The flag,
he got to watch the game. I got to see a flag.
Yeah. Right, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah.
It was like watching scramble porn back in the day. I'm like, I think I saw a titty, you know? Like, people, I'm going with cheers. Who's in Oz?
You've been waiting 43 minutes on LimeWire. Like,
Wait till this thing downloads, bro. Mambo, pick up the phone.
It's your soldier boy at the end.
Yeah. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to finish this anyway.
Is that a 1-2?
Yeah. I don't know. You get off the phone.
Super soak a laptop.
Well, that's something I think of when you're wearing a Dortmund shirt. And when we've been to Dortmund and
I'm so jealous.
Yeah. You've not been?
You haven't been? Oh, you gotta go, man. But
so jealous.
But when you
we'll link you.
When we
get you in the yellow wall. Though.
When you're watching the yellow wall, the flags are gigantic. And then you realize, like, yeah, there's probably about 30 people that are just getting glimpses of the game every couple
also,
moments.
These guys I mean thought they were like creating the atmosphere. And then another friend of ours was like three rows behind them and he showed us a video of them and you couldn't hear them three rows back. So I was like, God love these guys. Like they're making zero atmosphere, these two guys who were so committed to it. But I was telling you that my friend has just signed for San Diego, Paddy McNair, Northern Ireland International. And I was supposed to go to his game, but the flights didn't work out. And he said it was like 35,000 people for their first ever game in MLS. Nil-nil.
Yeah. But look, unbeaten San Diego FC.
Undefeated. Right. And they won, then they won.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, he went to Austin FC's first ever match as well.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on the road or I was away. And he was like, bro, the atmosphere is amazing. I was like, they were already talking about like the fact that the lights turned off and then green during a goal. And I was like, what did it look like? He's like, it was no. The tacos were amazing. But
Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson were there. So that was pretty great.
I got to see McConaughey there.
I actually think it's like kind of like a good thing for the MLS that I'm sort of hoping that like there was some sort of English journeyman playing.
Sure.
Some 37-year-old guy who's been through all the leagues, but there wasn't. And it was more like local players and South American players.
Like 22-year-old Paraguayan guys.
So that's probably better for the quality of the league, if you know what I mean.
We're trying to get away from the old UK folks.
Because like Paddy, who's come over, is like 30 or 31, I want to say. Yeah. And played for Man United, is like top level championship player. Probably definitely good enough to play Premier League. And he's in the league now. So like he's a guy who maybe would have made that move at 35 in the past to MLS, but now he's coming over in like his prime because the standard's way higher.
Well, it's interesting because we've interviewed a lot of players, and I do think especially like that English gritty like championship player, like we could probably use more of those guys playing here just to bring a little bit of that competitive edge because I think
You mean like the toughness?
The toughness is
like a 2-footed tackle at throat level.
I'd say, what are you on about, ref? You know?
It's a contact game, ref.
As if it's the ref's fault.
There, man's game.
There's something to the cutthroat attitude.
Yes.
That exists in European football, probably as a whole. But then at the English level, it's something like you were talking about Austin FC Stadium and how gorgeous it is. But if you also saw their training ground, top tier. You know, we've spoken to players like DeAndre Yedlin, who played Tottenham, Newcastle.
Yeah, yeah.
And when we spoke to him and he had come back to MLS, he was at Inter Miami. And we asked him like, hey, what's one of the like biggest differences? And he's like, since I left and came back, the training grounds are better than they are in Europe. So I feel like this happens a lot in like in tech related things where you're like, hey, if I get all the cool stuff,
yeah,
mm-hmm. I'll learn how to do the thing. And then you get it and you're like, nah, I'm bored. I don't
want
to do it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I'm not here to like disparage MLS players, but I do think from the way we think of like from a top down level, an executive level and ownership, it's like, yeah, let's get all the best stuff. And then we're going to get the best players.
And then the
players are going to be good because they have all the best food and they have all the best resources. And then it's like, there's something about that grit of just like not having nothing.
It's the pressure. Like, everything feels like it's the end of the world across the pond. If you lose a match, like I forget what player it was, but he was from the UK. He said one of the biggest shocks to him was, I think it was the first time, I think he played for the Chicago Fire, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember who it is, but they lost away their first match of the season. And I think the coach or someone told him like, oh, the fans are at the stadium, at the airport. And he's thinking he's about to get stuff thrown at him or whatever.
Yep.
Gets out. It's like moms and dads clapping for him.
Nah.
And he was like, they're asking for autographs. And he's like, bro, we lost. And they're like, yeah, you'll get them next week. The attitude's very, but I think that's also just an American thing. Aren't we seen as like way more positive than you guys?
Enthusiastic, positive, that kind of
like. You guys make fun of us for it. We're like Labradors to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but we, like I, for example, I'm a big Man United fan. And one thing that is kind of good in a way, but actually you're right. You're talking about like wanting like a bit of like tough tackles, a bit of like more competitiveness. It can be too much. Like the reason atmospheres are unbelievable, I think, in European football is like there is that thing of like if the team is not playing well or whatever, the fans are on their backs.
Yeah.
I've been to see Man United a good few times, and one thing I don't love about the atmosphere is, and I'm not a season ticket holder, I'm not every game, so maybe people tell me I'm wrong, but until Man United like go up in the game, like start winning in the game, the supporters are either like completely quiet or on their backs so badly. And the last time I was there, I took my son, God love my son, in December just for Christmas. My son's 4 and he's become a big Man United fan because his dad is.
He ruined his life.
And I said, I said, let's go to Old Trafford. Let's go. We went just before Christmas. And I looked at the fixture list and I picked a game that I was like, we have a chance here. We're going to win. I need to see, I'm not going to take him to a Man City or a Liverpool or whatever. So I booked tickets, me and him go see Man United versus Bournemouth. And I was like, come on, me and my son, dream day. Left Belfast 6 a.m, went over for the game, starts raining, got beat 3-0.
Yeah.
And God love my son, at the end of the game, my son was like, Daddy, did we not win? And I was like, I said, don't be stupid. We're the team in white. And I told him we were the team in white.
Hey, he had a great day. Yeah. What lovely Christmas.
About? He's like, the cherries, bro.
He's like, why did Bournemouth play in red? I said, hey, don't worry about it. We won the game.
And the rules are crazy.
It rained the whole time, but the atmosphere was horrible.
Yeah,
and I get that if you're like a season ticket holder at Man United, you're not happy with the way things are going. But every time quite a few of the players had the bottle, like the atmosphere was not positive. So I think there's a middle ground there between the MLS atmosphere and sometimes a hard Premier League atmosphere of like, you need some sort of encouragement.
We went to Old Trafford once. It was, I'm a big Arsenal supporter. So it was United Arsenal. We were in Liverpool because he's an Everton supporter and they flew us out to do like a documentary. I said, bro, I want to go to this Arsenal game. So you're a Manchester United fan. You might know Flex, United View, the YouTube channel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Flex is a good friend of mine. We used to have a show in Complex. I hit him up and I said, bro, is there any chance you can get me tickets in the away section for Arsenal? He's like, bro, that's impossible. Let me see what I could do. Day of, he says, bro, I got you tickets. So let's go. We go to Manchester. It's like a 2-hour train or whatever, 45-minute train from Liverpool to Manchester. We're going there. I'm wearing an Arsenal shirt. It's cold, so I have a big jacket. He's like, here you go. He sends me the tickets. He like airdrops them. And I'm like, what section is this? Like, where am I? He's like, oh, bro, you're like two seats away from the pitch. He's like, you're in the Sir Alex Ferguson stand. And I'm thinking, why would they call the away section? Why would they name it after their greatest manager? Yeah. I said, wow, Sir Alex Ferguson. I'm like, bro, they named the away section that? And he goes, nah, you're in the home section. And sure. I'm like, bro, what are you talking about? Like, I'm wearing Arsenal gear. And he's like, bro, he's like, yo, you're with the old guys. They won't care.
Yeah.
They've been there. He's like, you're in the rich seats. So I'm thinking like, all right, we'll be okay. He's like, a section away from me. We're both he's obviously not wearing Arsenal. Mm-hmm. So I show up and I'm like, something tells me to zip up. It's still kind of post-COVID-y, so I have a mask on.
Yep.
So I go there and I'm sitting between two old dudes. One guy's like, he's got like a little bit of a tattoo on his face. Like it's kind of faded. He's got some tattoos on his hands, but he's probably like 70 years old, maybe 60 something. He goes, oh, that's my mate's seat. Where'd you get it? And I said, I kind of didn't answer. I was like, a friend, you know? I'm trying not to say too much because I'm like, I don't even want them to know I'm American.
Yeah.
And he's like, all right. Kind of grilled me a little bit, but then where the game's happening, Cristiano Ronaldo shoots just wide. Everyone jumps up and goes, oh, I don't. As he comes back down, he's like, where you from, mate?
Yeah.
And I swear, I say it on stage, but it's true. I looked at him and I go, no speak English. I knew in that moment this dude wanted to fight me. The whole time he stared at me to make sure I couldn't speak English. Yeah. I told him, Cavani, he's a cousin. Yeah. Cavani. And saying Cavani, I told him that was my cousin. I said, I'm from Uruguay. And he's like, oh, this guy's Uruguay. He took photos with me. Him and his buddy took pictures. I'm like, okay, muy bueno. I pretended I couldn't speak English. Halftime, I met him. I'm like, I can't go back, man. I think the guy wants to knife me. I was so scared. But the whole time, instead of jeering he just stared at me. The other guy hated everything that was happening on the pitch. Yeah. I think it was Alex Tellez, right?
Tellez was
a right back. He was close to us. He had like clear open space and he started running. He looked up where to pass it and he wasn't seeing the defender come at him. Gets the ball, goes the other way. And the guy's like, he's like, Tellez. Yeah, he's like, something like your mother's a cow. Something like very British. And Tellez just looks over and I'm like, we are too close. Like, they can hear you, bro.
He was brutal for Man United.
He was pretty bad.
He was brutal.
Yeah. I just want to point out, because I just saw this on my train right here. This is after Tottenham lost.
The fans got at Ange.
The fans got at Ange. I don't know if you saw this, but I just love the quote. The fan is like jeering Ange Postecoglou and he says, Ange, what the fuck was that, you knobhead?
Look at his face.
He's Australian. Do you know what that looks like? The way Ange is looking up there. You know when people are like at the zoo and like mocking the gorillas. Right. Ange is just there. Like, if I could get out past this glass, I would rip your head off.
The gorilla's like, you're nothing. I could kill you.
It's so ridiculous how mean. Because usually if it happens here. Other fans are like, hey man, he's just trying his best.
Take it easy,
bro.
Yeah.
This is a man at his job.
But you mentioned Manchester United. I want to make sure we dedicate some time because this Manchester United.
Bro, talk to us.
Gets a lot of views.
Let's move on.
No, my as an Everton fan, my dream this season is to be above Manchester United.
And it might happen. Hey,
it might happen. We're not getting the last two results for Everton. Haven't been great, but Manchester United are the did you see the Gary Neville, Jim Ratcliffe interview?
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it was that amazing television.
The smile that came across your face. This should have been brutal, but I guess you enjoy this.
It's become a soap opera. It's just become drama. Everything that happens is wild. Jim Ratcliffe's kind of like, the way he like, took the dinners away off the staff.
He's taking everything away. He's cut half the staff.
It was wild to get that level of insight from an owner. Because a lot of the time they'll talk through somebody else or they'll release vague statements. But this was a kind of like, let's talk about what's happening at all levels.
It felt like you're watching Sir Jim Ratcliffe talk to an accountant. We're actually getting a peek behind
that. Or like prepare for a dissertation, for a deposition.
Gary Neville got like quite a lot of shit for it, but I thought he spoke really well. I thought he handled it well. I thought he asked probing questions, you know?
But my question for you, hold on real quick. Sir Jim Ratcliffe and everything that he's done, seemingly not helping, has it made you like American owners a little more?
Oh, I'm only in. I say I'm here for a stand-up tour. I'm here to get answers from the Glazers. That's why I'm in America. I'm like, boys, what is happening? Like, a couple of dollars. Come on, give me a couple of bucks. I'll take it back to Manchester, give to the club. Oh, my God.
It is. I mean, it's
insane. But by the way, Everton could conceivably finish above. I think where Man United are in the league is kind of where we deserve to be in the league. It's
100%.
Yeah. But also, like, I support Man United because my dad supported Man United. And when I started to support Man United, it was Man United were just dominating English football and doing really well in Europe. But, and you get a lot of shit for saying this and people don't believe you, but if that had always continued to now, I think I would have lost interest. Football is great because sometimes other teams will come through. Like, look at Leicester winning the Premier League.
Oh yeah, I'm an Arsenal fan.
That was the most enjoyable Premier League season, of better than Man United ever won the league for me. I'm more of a football fan, you know, so I love that. But the fact that, you know, Man United have gone way back down the league and things are terrible, you know, that could turn itself around, and that will be a great journey as a fan if Man United can go back up the league.
Yeah.
That will mean so much. So I think you got to realize that every team, like, lots of teams have their moment, you know, and if it was always United's time, it would be boring.
You know how some Brits spell it M-U-M instead of M-O-M? We say mom, they say mum.
Yeah.
You just said da.
My da.
Yeah.
Is there a second D in that word for you guys as well?
No, I would say like my da.
But when you spell it out, is it D-A-D?
No,
D-A. Oh, it's just D-A?
D-A.
For real?
Yeah.
That's kind of fine.
Your dad, your mom, your dad.
Yeah. We don't have dads, so we don't know.
But
if you look at the way Manchester United is right now,
yeah,
I think the biggest issue for you guys, besides everything that's happening on the pitch and the ownership and the stadium,
besides every
aspect
of footballing,
the away shirt's nice.
Yeah, that's true. Here's the biggest issue with you guys. It's all of your best players currently have microphones in front of them.
Yeah.
So it is a nonstop, a revolving door of famous broadcasters who used to wear that shirt and win. And they're all highly critical. Do you ever just shut it off, or do you watch all of this? Is this like what do they call it? Tragedy porn or something? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you love seeing like car accidents.
Like, it's voyeuristic or something. I mean, look, Roy Keane is like my hero. Roy Keane's my football hero. So I listen to him because he will be brutal in his criticism of Man United, but then he'll praise them where it's right. But I'm addicted to all of it. The soap opera of Man United at the minute. It is unbelievable. I think some of the fans are great. Some of the fans are absolutely terrible. Like when you go to the, like, Arsenal kind of had it when Arteta first came. Arsenal would win two games, and all of a sudden it was like, we're back. Yeah. We're going to be the Invincibles again. Then you would lose two games and it's like, Arteta out.
Yeah.
And that continued for so long. Man United are going through that at the minute. Like, we beat Leicester 3-0 yesterday or whatever. Yeah. Everybody's like, boys, the boom's back. Yeah. The boys are back. The three of us, in fact, the five of us in this studio might have a chance of beating Leicester.
Yeah.
Like, we might have a chance of beating Leicester.
She plays in college, so she actually might, bro.
I'm sure she's better than all of us.
I'm the best of you a lot.
We get six other guys from Street FC with a 2-star rating. We have a chance of beating Leicester.
So the soap opera aspect is fascinating. And I think that the Sir Jim Ratcliffe interview, I thought the part that stuck out to me was when he said that, you know, that Manchester United would have been bankrupt in like, you know, eight, nine months if he didn't make these cuts. And then Gary Neville.
Do we believe that though?
Why would he lie? I don't understand why he would lie. But
he's a billionaire. Yeah. I don't know if you guys have met billionaires recently.
But the team.
He might be your Elon, bro. Actually, he is your Elon.
That is.
Oh my God.
That is possible.
Oh no.
Watch. Elon tried to buy Liverpool, you know. But I think the. Watching the interview, you sort of get the sense that he loves the club and
yeah, he's a supporter.
He's a supporter, but then he is stuck in this business situation where he still has to show respect to the Glazers. And Gary Neville is like trying to coax him to being like, it's the Glazers, right? Come on, just say it's the Glazers. He's like, oh, I'm not gonna talk about what people did in the past. And it's like right there.
How is it the Glazers' fault when he's cut everything. He's cut all the budget.
But he's saying he has to do this.
He has to do it because
run out of cash. The Glazers aren't putting money into the club.
Yeah.
Like, they're not putting money into the club.
I just don't believe it.
you don't believe that the cuts have to be made? You think they're making the cuts for a reason?
I'm not saying some cuts didn't need to be made. The overwhelming amount of cuts, the consistent amount of cuts, is for a club that brings in that much commercial revenue,
yeah.
it just doesn't make sense
to
me.
Debt
the
is
debt
huge.
Is crazy.
Yeah, but I think this, so we're going to get into a longer conversation. And I don't want to do that. But the way debt is looked at by American business owners is different. Like the larger your debt, you're only given so much debt because a bank trusts that. So it almost raises the value of the club. So the club raising its value allows them to ask more of their commercial partners. And so it's almost like adding that much debt when you have the ability to pay back easily, right? It allows you to get a larger, that's why you have such big commercial contracts. That's why you have such large partnerships. So it almost works hand in hand. If you didn't have the debt, no one would trust that you could take on X amount of money and you wouldn't be able to ask for so much money in a long sense. So I don't believe you need to make all these cuts. You didn't have to say, you didn't have to get rid of the historian who's worked in the basement for 40 years. Yeah. You don't have to get rid of that guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Maybe you can, maybe you don't need the X amount of
but
this.
By the way, that guy's playing left back next week.
Yeah, he's definitely needed. Yeah.
But I would argue that you're saying like just because the brand is so tremendous and brings in so much commercial revenue, I would argue that it doesn't just happen on its own, that Manchester United, even with the losses and even with the poor form, it doesn't, that actually help, that hurts how much debt they're allowed to hold, right? So if they're losing, if the people are more interested in Manchester City and the these other clubs, there's more money in the Premier League, and the other clubs are bringing in so much money that they look better on the pitch, and then that therefore you can't just be like, we're Manchester United, we're allowed to be in $1 trillion in debt because we're gonna make it back.
And
the danger is that it's becoming a brand instead of a football club. That's the danger. Used to be, if Man United wanted a player, you would go, no matter really who you were playing for. There had to be a couple of exceptions, but any player, if you heard Man United are in for you, I want to go to Old Trafford, I want to play for Man United. That is not the case anymore, and that's kind of the scary thing. Like, Man United need like a number nine, like need a top striker. You look at Osimhen, Gyökeres at Sporting Lisbon. And these guys all have like release clauses that are like not that mental, apparently, like 60 million, 70 million. But, you know, United, there's no chance, like, you know, now United talking about Mateta, Crystal Palace, who's a good player. But like in the past, it would have been, we want that guy, we'll get that guy.
It used to be akin to like when Real Madrid come knocking.
Yeah,
100%. It used to be that. And I would say commercially they still are because they have so many fans all over the world. But I, whatever.
The merch is nice.
Yeah.
But everything else is a show.
You said your dad was a fan of the club. George Best is from North Ireland, correct?
Yeah.
Is that a reason why a lot of fans maybe still?
I think that.
Is that like past generation?
I think it's a past generation thing. I mean, you would get people my age or our age that still like talk about, or like he would be one of their favorite ever players. He was way obviously before my time.
Yeah.
But I think it probably made a lot more Man United supporters in Northern Ireland. But I don't think it was a reason my dad started supporting them. I'm not 100% sure. I just remember that like it was non-negotiable that was my team. Damn. But when my dad started supporting them, they weren't the kind of dominating team that they are now. So that is the thing. Like in Ireland in general, people like if you support a team in England, it's Liverpool, Man United, good Arsenal fan base, maybe a little bit of Leeds.
Okay.
And that's kind of it. There's of course other clubs, but there's like a small group of clubs that people follow and people support.
That's dope. Why should we go to North Ireland? Like what are we going to find when we go to Belfast?
When you go to games or the city?
No, just the city.
The city is...
Because we've never been.
So the good thing about if you're coming over to Belfast, you can do all of Ireland. So like... you know, there is a border. I mean, politically, it's obviously like a bit of a hot potato.
Yeah, we've heard about the soft border.
Yeah.
I love the Casio.
I'm ovulating.
I'm sorry, you're getting a phone call from 1998.
It's Man United. Be like, we're winning.
Yeah.
But I mean, I love it. You can travel around it, obviously, so freely. I mean, the island itself, like I would say I'm Irish, you know, it's great because you can do Belfast and you can do Dublin and Galway and you can do all the picturesque touristy stuff, and then you can also just hang out in these towns and cities, and obviously bars are a huge part of it, but there's loads now to see and do. Like growing up, But I'm from a place called Hollywood, which is just outside Belfast, a very small town.
You have the Hollywood sign in the background of your podcast. Yeah, yeah. I was wondering where that came from.
I'm a big, like, Belfast being my nearest city, so you said Belfast earlier. I wouldn't correct you, but it's like, it's Hollywood. I guess there's equivalents here where someone would say New York. You might be from closer to New Jersey,
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I love it, like my hometown especially. I like Rory McIlroy's from there, the golfer.
Of course.
That's a really small town. Jamie Dornan, the actor.
Yeah.
And me, so three equally... big guys, superstars, the big three.
Hence the Hollywood name.
Just exactly. the wealthiest and sexiest man that come out of that town.
But I think you would actually, you would enjoy a football game. You would enjoy an Irish League game.
We got to go.
Especially like a Monday night game. It's because Sky Sports have started to cover a lot of Irish League games. And there's more full-time teams as well. Like there's three, maybe four full-time teams in Northern Ireland now. And there's a lot of American investment coming in. To the clubs. which is great because it just the standard gets better, facilities are better.
Is the standard? I mean, you've been to an MLS match, you've been to an Irish League match. What's the we get very
MLS way out in front.
Okay,
for an Irish League game, yeah. Now, also, I just watch a lot of games when they're on BBC and stuff because I play football and I've always grown up playing. There's a big call to make Irish League football on a Sunday. Move it from a Saturday to a Sunday because I've been playing every Saturday since I was like six. 30 years I've been playing every single Saturday. Mm-hmm. So I cannot go to Irish League games.
Gotcha.
And everyone plays football. So none of us can go. So if they moved it to a Sunday, I think it would be massive. But there's a big... The north of Ireland still... there's still a big religious element there about not having games on a Sunday. And I think we're getting closer to being able to move it, but there's still a little bit of kickback, in my opinion, unfortunately, about it.
Shane Todd said, everybody be atheist.
Yeah.
So we can get
at least agnostic. Let's get something going on a Sunday. We selling meat on Fridays? How far have we come as a society?
The one thing you were mentioning George Best, there was a great ESPN 30 for 30 about George Best that I
really
loved.
I didn't even know that.
He's an endless sea of quotes, this guy.
Yeah, but one of the... I remember watching it. It must have been like 7-8 years ago I watched this, but obviously George Best was, drank a little bit.
That was towards the end of his career, a big issue.
Yeah. But they one of the stories when he got pulled over by the police and got arrested, and the news article said, pulled over for drink driving. And as an American, this is not a thing we say.
They call it drink driving.
They call it drink
driving. What do you guys call it?
Drunk driving.
Drunk driving.
You're drunk.
Yeah, but in Ireland, if you've had four drinks and then you're driving, you're not drunk driving. You're fairly sober driving with our tolerance levels.
That's what we're looking. I've been to Dublin and the level, what we would call drunk is much. It's like three... Three, four drinks.
What's acceptable in public in the UK and in Ireland is you'd be kicked out of every establishment in the
American
US.
Comedy clubs have two drink minimums. And American comics are like, do you guys not have that in Ireland? I was like, why would anyone need to be told? No, you need to have a minimum of two. People are like, oh, how will I manage that?
Right.
People have two drinks before they drove to the show.
Is there a maximum? Did you guys?
There should be like a moat. For you to get from the venue to the bar, there should be more difficult ways to get alcohol.
It's crazy the way people drink. I mean, we made the mistake of taking the last train from Manchester to Liverpool.
Now
we didn't know. We did not know. Culturally, we had no clue. We said we want to party in Manchester as long as possible. So what's the last train we could take back to Liverpool? We call it Port Authority here. It was like a homeless shelter on wheels. There was like pamphlets, they're not newspapers, but they're like advertisement things that magazines, little magazines that you could get at the train station that have like coupons and stuff. These things were on the floor and they kind of move a lot. And I'm like, what's going on? It's because they were covering vomit. You were walking over and people were vomiting into bags. No one's saying anything. Everyone's okay with this. And I was like, bro, this is dystopian.
Yeah.
New York is a wild city. If this happened on the train to New York, they'd shut that line down.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. In Dublin, there was a guy I was talking to he was so drunk, but he was like,
serious?
Yeah. But he was so excited to speak to a person of color. You know what I mean? I guess there aren't many in Ireland. Yeah, yeah. So there was like a giddiness.
There's four.
So he was so...
Everyone knows Brian. I've spoken to him before. You're new.
I remember his name. It was Mickey. I remember that. Yeah. And he just... He was like, excited to talk to me. Hey, you're American, whatever. And then he literally collapsed on the ground. And I'm like, hey, everybody, Mickey, he's really out of it. He really his friend, he's like, hey, Mickey, get up. Come on, man. Come on, wasn't Mickey. Even embarrassed.
Yeah. Mickey, not again, Mickey. Like,
he's a bus driver. He starts in 10 minutes. I know exactly what you mean. Because people in Ireland, like, we find that difficult, like, to not show, like, excitement. When we meet people who are not Irish, like I, the first show I did here in San Francisco, there was a black comic in the audience. He dapped me up. I just sat down after. I was like, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life. I got it wrong. Oh my God. I went very limp and I let him take the driver's seat. I was like, cheers.
He's all fine.
Just take me around here, you know?
Show me the ropes, buddy. Yeah. Do you get this a lot? This is going to happen a lot where like older folks, my wife is mostly Italian, but she has some Irish people in her family, which is a blend that would never happen in Europe, but it happens a lot here in New York. And the Irish people will tell you they are Irish to they'll tell you the whole story where they're from, County Mayo. The whole story. Does this happen to you a lot? Do you get this a lot when you're back home? The like little Americans coming over, the little quaint old people telling you their whole life story, and you have to tell them, bro, you ain't Irish.
Yeah, but maybe like the other way around. More like when I'm here. You know, you get people who come up to me after the show. Oh, my family are, I'm Irish. And I, all right. And then they're like, my family are from Galway. I go, all right, have you been over? Like, do you like it? Oh, no, I've never been. You know, I suppose there is a kind of a snobby attitude sometimes that we have towards that Irish American thing. I personally don't get it. I'm like, these people are just like proud to have an Irish background, and we should be like happy with that. But like, I'll be honest, like I walked through the parade to get here, the St. Patrick's Day parade, a little bit much. Okay. Yeah. A little bit much. And why am I not getting like some sort of fast pass to get through the crowds?
You of all people should be ushered through.
And people, and like, then people like, if they, you know, chatting to a guy at a crossing for it. He's like, oh, happy Paddy's Day. American guy. I was like, yes. Hey, where are you from? I'm from Ireland. He's like, why are you not dressed up? I was like, I am.
You're the thing you're pretending to be.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. What do you want me to do? Like, it's so low key. Paddy's Day is so low key back in Ireland.
Yeah.
Like, well, there'll be like parades in Dublin and Belfast and in the big cities and stuff. And there is stuff like mainly like for the kids, you know?
Sure.
And people after work will go for maybe a Guinness or something, but it's not like this. Like, I was in Philly 3 days ago and people were going mad for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
And I was like, are we celebrating Irish culture or are we using this as an excuse to get a little bit wild?
Okay, bing, 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 bing.
Yeah.
This is like Irish people's spring break.
Yeah, but I enjoy it. I don't mind it at all.
But you know, companies like Anheuser-Busch would be like, Shane Todd is against the Irish culture being celebrated.
My favorite thing is Heineken sells more beer on this day because it's green than Guinness. And this upset it. Guinness. So Guinness was thinking maybe they should make their bottles green for this day only. And then apparently like Guinness fans were upset that they wanted to change anything. It's the whole thing. But Americans are like, give me anything green. Heineken, not Guinness.
Have you guys encountered Guinness snobbery as well?
Oh my God, yes.
Maybe. I don't know.
You're not a big beer guy in general, but there's a guy named Guinness Guru on the internet.
He's great.
He's great.
But it's the people who are like, he goes into bars and reviews it and all that kind of stuff.
He's like the, you know, the one bite rule pizza guy. He's for Guinness.
But like, so say you guys were in Ireland and you put up a picture, Instagram story of you guys having a Guinness and it was in like a different beer glass. Like the bar just gave you like a Harp glass or Carlsberg or whatever. You would be killed in the comment section.
Right.
The snobbery around it is crazy.
I'm that way with pizza.
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
I see you eating dog pizza, I'm going to say.
Well, here's the thing. I'm gluten-free and dairy-free. So when you see the pizza I eat, you would...
Yeah. I don't even know why you
would
attempt.
You're like my wife.
Yeah. What is it? You get sick or are you just trying to be healthy?
No, it's like allergy thing.
Yeah,
like
okay.
Celiacs and the whole thing, yeah.
But it's just sad.
Yeah, no. I was going to say we should take it to get pizza, but no, let's just not do that. Let's not do that. Look, obviously, you've toured a bunch, and I know, dude, you got to make a flight. So when are you coming back? Like, what are your plans? Where can people see you? Obviously, Tea With Me podcast is huge. I see the clips all the time.
Thank you. Yeah. So that's my pod. I've got my visa, so I'm planning to like come back. Thank you for the visa, by the way.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. I want to come back more often. So every couple of months, maybe I'm going to come over. I think I'll do like a little bit of New York, Austin, kind of both those cities.
If you're here on a Sunday, want to get in a game.
And you're not injured.
Is it 11 aside?
7 aside.
7 aside.
But
you give me a free roll.
you want to be a roaming.
Just give me the strings. Let me pull them. I'm not going to roam. I'm not going to move. But I just move. I'll move on like.
Yeah.
We got playing the 10?
I'll play in the 10.
Okay. Yeah. We got a Scottish goalkeeper. Jag, he's great.
Y'all can knife it out. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. He's a big Celtic.
And that's just to show affection. He stabbed me a little bit. I stabbed him. Yeah.
Hug. Free healthcare, shake hands. All right, it's free.
So you're welcome to play anytime.
I would love to.
Okay, yeah. We'll sort that out.
And I'll find you the best gluten-free marinara pie.
Gluten-free, dairy-free.
Yeah, marinara. So no top. Actually, I already know the place.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Shane, it's been an absolute honor.
Boys, thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Best of luck with everything going forward. Tea time, the podcast.
Tea with me. And Shane Todd Comedy, all one word. 2 D's in Todd, not in Dad. 2 D's in Todd. Shane Todd Comedy on Instagram. Follow this guy. Absolutely hilarious.
Shane, thank you so much, brother. Boys.
Thank you.
Come on, Shane Todd. Huh?
Shane Todd, just the man with two first names.
Right? It's uncomfortable for I know a Todd Shane. That's how uncomfortable that was for me.
So shout out to Shane. Thank you so much for coming through.
And dude, he made time for us. He had his luggage in here. He was on the way to the airport. Might have got there late because of us, because it was such a good conversation. We kept it going.
Exactly. Shane lives with me now.
Yeah. He actually calls that bedroom North Ireland, North Polanco Land, which I thought was really rude.
So thank you again for him coming through. We, as always, just again, another reminder, make sure you hit the subscribe button if you haven't yet.
Hit the like button, the thumbs up right there below the video. Hit that right now.
Find us on Blue Sky. The whole footballing community is moving over there. We're having a great time. So at soccercooligans.com on Blue Sky, get over there. That's where all the action is.
Yeah, make sure you follow Shane Todd on the internet. He's a really funny guy. Good time, great podcast. And if he happens to be coming to your town, buy tickets to see him perform. Really, really funny.
That's the move. All right, everybody. We'll see you on Monday with a brand new episode. So enjoy the weekend. The international break is over.
Finally, we get some regular footy.
We can now reconnect with our tribal clubs.
Our second nation.
Okay. Hope your team won. Unless they played Everton.
Christian, I hope your team wins. How about that?
Okay, thank you so much. How up, sweet. That's the kindest thing you've ever said.
Say that emotionless. What is going on with this guy?
If you thought that was sincere,
nothing behind the eyes when he talks to you.
We'll see you on Monday, everybody. Take care. Peace.
Love you guys.